Genesis 23 and 24. A funeral and a wedding. A funeral and a wedding is what we're going to look at. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for gathering us together. Lord, under your lordship, Jesus, we gather to listen to you, to sit at your feet. Lord, to gain some strength, wisdom, to be stronger in the faith. Lord, to be trained in your ways of righteousness. So Lord, speak, because we are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In chapter 23, Mrs. Abraham's earthly life comes to an end. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So she died in Kijath Abba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord, you are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of your burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial. Spread your place, that you may bury your dead. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land and sons of Heth, and he spoke with them, saying, If it's in your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which at the end of his field, let him give it to me at a full price as property for a burial place among you. Now Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in his presence, the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered the gate of the city, saying, No, my lord, hear me, I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you, bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you will give it, please hear me. I'll give you the money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying, My lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So you bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron. And Abraham weighed out of his money silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth before all who went at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave, in the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place. The only lady in the Bible whose age is mentioned at death passes on, Abraham's wife. And you see the culture of the day just by gaining over a place for burial. Now you know that God had given Abraham that land. Have it, it's all yours, but he's not just going to grab it. You people get out of here, this is my land. He's going to live peacefully with people, so he actually offers to buy something that already belonged to him. He pays for it. And he went, and the Bible says he mourned and wept for his wife. Sad day for Mr. Abraham. I do not know the pain that one goes through losing a spouse, partner, a life partner, but I'm sure it's quite painful. I've never lost one, so I can understand there is pain, but I can feel the pain because it's not me. And if you're out there, you've lost your partner, you know how painful it is. And you know, much as we can try to understand your pain, but we can't fully, because it was your spouse, it was your husband or wife. You know, and mourning and grief is an expression of pain. One author said to mourn or to weep shows that you love them. that this person has been close to you, that the loss is keenly felt, the death is painful, and that sin has brought this sad punishment upon the human race. In every funeral we attend, we're basically looking at the effect of sin upon each one of us. And in many cultures, grief and mourning is done, performed in different ways. In some places, if you come to my home area, we cry out loud and we mourn. In fact, there's even dancing. In some places, people just sit there and they be quiet and they shed their silent tears. In some places, you can hire professional mourners. How do you like that? I don't know if it's offered by our funeral companies here, but it's big business in Kenya and Nigeria. You can hire professional mourners. He wasn't afraid to mourn. He wasn't afraid to express the pain. And you know, when we lose loved ones, there's a tendency of expressing grief and pain and sorrow. And some people think it's just an emotional expression. Or it's just being emotional about it. It's more than just being emotional. It's painful. If you have lost somebody, you know it's painful. It hurts. It really hurts. And it's okay to mourn. It's okay to grieve. It's okay. It's biblical to shed a tear for somebody close to you who has passed. In fact, the Jews back in Abraham's day would mourn for days and months, probably even years. They would just sit near the grave and they would mourn and mourn and mourn and spread on themselves sackcloth and ashes, or wear sackcloth and ashes and all these ways. But life on this earth painfully comes to an end. We don't know when, but the time will come. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus' very words, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." There's nobody who can comfort you when you lose somebody very close. Nobody will. Only God can. And just a reminder that life was God's, and He has chosen to call them back home. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have passed on, lest you sorrow as those who do not have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him, those who sleep in Jesus Christ. Jesus conquered death once and for all, and we know and we believe that He died and rose again, and that means everyone who believes in Him and lives this earth goes on to the next. We look forward to having a reunion with them sometime when we also live. At 127 years, she saw Isaac celebrate probably his 37th birthday. And in chapter 24, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, that could have been Eliezer, who ruled over all he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh." This is how they made an agreement. "And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaan, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not do that. Don't take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying to your descendants, I give this land, He will send His angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son Isaac back there." So the servant rather put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 of his master's camels, parted for all his master's goods were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia in the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well, the well of water at the evening time, the time when the women go out to draw water. And he said, "Oh Lord," he prayed, "my master Abraham, God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day. Show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please lay down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give you camels drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have sworn kindness to my master. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled the pitcher, and came. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand, and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drink. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, and the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel, that must have been heavy, and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and he said, blessed be the Lord, God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord laid me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young man ran and told her mother's household these things. Beautiful love story, isn't it? It's time for Isaac to find a bride, to have a wife at home, start a family. And in the custom, it's the fathers who had to find the bride for their son. How would you like that, single guys? Easy. You just have to trust that your dad will make a good choice for you. And you have to. They have better eyes, right? Please, God, just don't do one thing. Don't allow Isaac to go there. God will give you success. This is again faith, a demonstration of faith in Abraham. You go find my son a wife, and if it does not work out, it's okay. Then you're free from all that duty. Are you sure, Abraham? Yeah, all right. He took the camels, took the gifts, sits by a well. In that custom again, the women came at the well to fetch water at a particular time of the day. And he says, all right, God, I'm going to do this, and you had better give me success. He prays. This is no easy task. Have you tried matchmaking? I've tried, I've failed multiple times. I don't do it anymore. He prays, God, give me success. And he asks for a sign. I'm here by this well. I have my camels. I'm thirsty too. The lady who offers me a drink and offers to water all my camels is going to be the one, for sure. In Jesus' name, amen. And sure enough, Rebekah comes. And this guy is blown by her beauty. She must be the one. Okay, second test. At least she has to be good looking, right? Second test. Let's see what she does. He is looking for character, and that's what Abraham wanted. Abraham don't send him to just get a beautiful wife. Beauty on the outside, but a lot more beauty on the inside. This is a huge task for her to demonstrate her character. He doesn't want a non-Christian, literally. He wants a Christian bride for his son. And it all plays out well. Rebekah comes and offers him a drink. very kind of her, and waters his 10 camels. So all the ladies, would you have passed that test? Yeshua would have loved to be Isaac's bride, but would you have rolled? You know those old wells, you roll the, you know, the bucket out, and then you roll it back in, and then you roll it out, and then back in. This was not just a beautiful lady, this was a strong woman. And that is admirable in every woman. And I don't think any culture promotes laziness of any type. We just turn out lazy for some reason. But nobody raises you and says, just be lazy and do nothing. Maybe some do. It could have taken her up to 2 hours and lots of energy. Now you African women will relate with this. Fetching water 5, 6, 7 miles away. In fact, there was a marathon in France. A half marathon, actually, 21 miles. 21 kilometers, I think. And this lady from the Gambia, they were raising money for water in the Gambia. And everybody was running the race. She walked 25 miles. Easy. And all the ladies say, okay, that was a soft one. Like, no, not 21 miles walking for water. 2 hours feeding camels. They really drink so much water, if you do not know that. Gallons and gallons of water. And she's presented a gift. A nose ring. Anybody with a nose ring? I know some friends have nose pins. Beautiful in the culture. And this is really a mark of you are engaged to somebody. You're engaged to Isaac. This is my master's gift to you. And she immediately knew what was happening. I am getting married. I don't even know this guy yet, but I believe in God. Who are you? They introduce each other. You have any room for me? Again, Jewish hospitality. You come. We have food. We have place for you to live. We have water. If you want to stay a whole year, feel free. And they go home and they retell the story. Now, this guy must have been leaping with joy at this time. How do you feel when God gives you any success? You've been nervous like for a week. Well, how do you feel when your bride actually says, yes, will you please marry me? And she says, yes. I remember sweating. I didn't know what to do. I put the ring on the wrong finger. But at least, you know, I made the point. And she said, yes. You know, you always have a 50% chance, right? You're like, will she say yes or no? But you still have to be bold and do what a man has to do. They go home, tell the story. And Rebecca is, yes, I will go. The servant is entertained, explain his mission. Rebecca receives the gifts. I accept them. There's obviously a party thrown when she's sent off. She's sent off with maids, younger girls, to help her at home. And she's sent off and brought to Isaac. This is the beginning of a new family, through whom Jesus is coming. And these practices are still we still do them today, right? Exchanging rings. In fact, I read a story of a lady who dreamt that her husband bought her diamond ring for her birthday. And he told him, I dreamt that she bought me a diamond ring for my birthday. And he said, uh-oh, maybe you'll find out tonight what that dream means. So in the evening, the man came home with a small package and gave it to his wife. She ripped open the gift and found a book titled The Meaning of Dreams. Not good advice, guys. At least you buy fake diamond ring. Would you marry somebody you have not met if God says, go? And tell you what, looking for a bride, finding one, getting married is a huge step of faith. One of the biggest moves you'll ever make that will either make your life or ruin it once and for all. Would you pass this test as a man, trusting that God has a bride for you? From verses 42, and this day came, rather, the whole story is narrated after the end of verse 41. And this day I came to the well. Right, actually, let's pick up from verse 50. That's the whole story. Then Laban, Bethel, swear an oath. The thing comes from God, they said. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here's Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abram's servant heard their words, that he worshipped again, bowed himself to the earth. And the servant brought jewelry, silver, clothing to Rebekah, precious things to her brother and to her mother. This is when you really want to be the brother to the bride. Gifts. And he said to them, after they had ate and drunk, it's time to go. Then they arose in the morning and said, send us away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young man stay. Come on, stay for a few days with us. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since my Lord, the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. She was willing to go. And they blessed Rebekah in verse 60. Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. And Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. He is waiting for a bride. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes. She saw Isaac. She dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? She said, she took the veil herself and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the thing that he had done. Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife and loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So we learn a few principles in finding a bride. And most of these principles are actually towards the lady. Because here Rebekah shines more than Isaac, doesn't she? The guy is just there wandering around, meditating, waiting for his bride. Rebekah is shining. She's proving herself a woman of strength, of character, of faith, of substance, a virtuous woman. And there's one thing, the very first thing that is taught here, finding a mate must be a person, a man, a woman of character. The first thing, they must be a Christian. They must be one who loves and follows the one true God, the God that you love and follow. Nothing below that. Well, but Pastor, he's nice. I'll preach to him. He'll get saved. No, you're not a preacher. It must be a Christian. And that is just it. So if you are out there dating somebody who is not a Christian, please drop it today. And if somebody had insisted in the past and gotten married to a non-Christian, you look for them and hear their testimony. All right? It's nasty. You never bring somebody to Christ through dating. Right? You wait for them to get saved. Then if it's God's will, it will happen. Don't even try. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, do not let your adornment be merely outward, ladies, arraying the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and you are not afraid with any terror. It's not just the outside beauty that should be looked for. It is the inner beauty, the character. All of us are beautiful. Right? All of us are made beautiful. God did that. Not many of us are beautiful in the heart. So you have to look for that one person. One. Can you imagine? out of all the billions of people around the world, just one. Now that is hard. If you are a mathematician, the probability is to the, you can't even count the zeros on the other side. Like the chance of finding that one person is really close to impossible. But God is going to make it possible. One of inner beauty, a Christian, a follower of God. And you have to be sure of that. You really have to be sure of that. I don't know. Maybe you should wait until you know the person for 10 years. I don't know. You just have to be sure somehow. Because we pretend, right? We wear this. When we want to marry a girl, we can be nice. Really nice. I'm speaking about the men here. And when we get married, you're like, okay. Who campaigns after winning an election? You know, then an African idiom. I married you, it ended, so what's up, right? What do you want? You have to be sure this person is a follower of Jesus Christ. You have to be sure this girl is a follower of Jesus Christ. At least that is one success. There is more in Proverbs 31 for the ladies, right? And this is really Rebecca shining here. We'll emphasize the ladies. Let's open up there. It's a long passage, but we can draw a lot of truths from it by just reading it. Proverbs 31:10 onwards. So guys, this is what you should be looking at, looking for in a lady. Alright? Who can find a virtuous woman? Isaac can, with the help of God. For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. There is trust. Alright? She's valuable. She's trustworthy. So she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. In another proverb, the Bible says it's easy, it's easier, it's better to live at a rooftop than to live with a quarrelsome woman downstairs, right? This woman, Proverbs 31, she is not quarrelsome. All she does is good to her husband. And all the ladies say, okay, I know the problem now. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. And all the ladies say, it's coming. She's like a merchant. The merchant ships, she brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet at night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And all the ladies say, she considers a field and buys it. For her profits, she plants a vineyard. She guards herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She goes to the gym. And all the ladies say, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds a spindle. She works hard. All right? This is almost like a man, right? She extends her hand to the poor. She's generous. She's kind. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for the household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She knits the clothes in her household. At least she does good, you know, shopping choice. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Those are honorable clothes, by the way. Apparel. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them. She's creative and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, right? Wisdom here. And her tongue is the law of kindness. And all the ladies say, amen. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. And all the men say,
amen.
All right. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. A lot about inner beauty in there. And the ladies, why don't you know now? So you know what the guys are looking for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? None whatsoever. The second thing we see here is preparation. Right? And it works different in every culture. Some cultures, the dad decides, in my culture you have to find one. And you tell your dad, and then the elders sort it out, and you know they take care of everything, and then you just wait for your woman at home. In our contemporary culture, there's this thing called dating, the process of knowing each other and finding out if it's the right person, which is most of the time a waste of a lot of time and money. It happens in this culture, but you still end up with somebody that God had prepared for you. Right? You prepare. That's what the servant demonstrates here. He prayed. He prepared through prayer. God, this is hard. This is difficult. My chance of failing is a half. I can succeed. I can fail. I may get a good woman. I may get a bad one. And I need your help. Prepare through prayer. Pray, pray, pray for your partner. And this preparation goes on to so much length. I mean, it's like we do not know that we're going to get married someday until we find somebody, and then we're panicking, right? Now we're looking for money. I mean, we grow up and we have a job. We don't even think about it, right? That this is going to cost money, and then we get a bride and we're like, now, pastor, budget, you know. Obviously, I'm going to be supportive and people are going to be supportive, but you need to save, all right? If you have a chance to save, if you're single right now, you have an advance warning. It's coming. And you had better be ready for everything it costs. All right? It's going to cost you something. See the silver, the gold, the camels, the cows, the goats, the chicken. I paid a lot of them for my wife. Prepare. All right? If you're single right now, you have an advance notice. It's coming in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years or 10 years. And by that time, you have, 10 million shillings in preparation, my wedding fund, save right now. And when you present us with budgets, it's just a top-up for your honeymoon in some lovely place, all right? Like we pay for your honeymoon, you know, you already have money for your wedding, kind of a thing. Prepare through prayer and through action. This is the difficult part. Much as Eliezer, this servant, had prayed, he has everything. Most of the ladies tell me, pastor, there is just everything except for that guy, right? Just one thing, that guy is missing. He has everything, but he has to take some action, right? He has to be like, so who are you, madam? Who are you, young lady? I'm Rebecca. She's the one, all right? He demonstrated his courage and faith by asking who this lady was. Are you the right one? Now, you really don't do that, right? You don't go to ladies, are you the right one, you know? What's your name? Who is your dad? Guys, if you've prayed and God has given you wisdom, you know the person. You will. God will show them to you. All right? And sometimes we are overwhelmed by the external beauty and, you know, just whatever it is, and we hit a wall. Right? But if you have your mind very clear and you've prayed and you've asked God and you know this person and you see the response is appealing. I mean, some guys are very clueless. I should tell you, they're just clueless. Like, they can't even read what is on their palms, right? The lady is basically saying no through action, but the guy is pushing and insisting, and it's disgusting for me to say that. But anyway, use your brains, okay? You can tell a lady likes you. You can tell. All right? All right? So you find the married people, they'll help you. Some of you guys think you know everything, you don't. Right? Look for a married person who will help you before you hit so many walls and get frustrated, you know. You're like, oh, these girls, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with them, kind of a thing. There's only one for you, by the way, you know. Luke 18:1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Prepare in prayer, the first thing you do is pray, and everything else follows. As you're praying, take some action and God will guide you. The third is wait. The first time I asked my wife out, she said, N-O, no. And I told her, it's okay. And then she's like, what? You're the only guy who has asked me out, and I said no, and it was okay. So it's a yes. He said, most of the guys are like, oh, I'll buy you a car, and I'll buy you an expensive ring. I really love you. I will starve without you. You know, you starve if you want. And I married her. All right, wait. She said no, and for days I was like, okay, it's fine. God will find me somebody else. And then she said yes. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Guys, girls, if you're rejected, it's fine. Don't take it personal. All right? It's a closed door. Maybe it will open someday. Don't take it personal. It's fine. You can still be friends. No, don't leave the church. Right. Rejection is normal. All right? The person just pushing in the right direction. Wait. Right? Look for a Christian. Prepare. Wait. And you know what? It says, when all this happens, Isaac took Rebekah, she became his wife, and he loved her. And this is when all the ladies say, amen. He loved her. And you know, through the dismounting of the camel and veiling, it's a picture of submission. And this is a mutual relationship of love and respect. And it is reciprocated, and it differs from culture to culture. All right, you've heard about the five love languages. I don't even know what they are, but love is expressed in many ways in different cultures. So a lady in Entebbe asked the lady, so how should we be submissive to our husbands? And one said, you know what, when he's coming home with all the caveras, you go offload him. That is an expression of what? Respect and submission, like welcome home. Right, just don't look at him like there's a problem with him, you know. And that is demonstrated differently in every culture, right? My dad and my mom wedded, and not once did I see them holding hands. He literally walked 2 meters ahead of my mom, and then all of us. It was love, 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 wasn't it, right? If you do that today, if you don't hold your girlfriend, I mean your wife's hand, they'll be like, let's go to the pastor here. And tell you what, in every culture, love is expressed differently. And if there are culture differences, please don't take it personal too. All right? I'm told of an Irish lady who married a man from Bogiso. And obviously in the West, it's romantic to cook. All right? Europe and America, it's cool to cook. In Africa, our mothers beat us out of the kitchen. All right? Go away. You don't cross this line. So we marry, and this guy has never stepped into their kitchen for 20 years. All right? But that is just it. All right? Obviously, you'll struggle through, and what's wrong with this guy? But his orientation is you don't go to the kitchen, and he's still obedient to his wife, his mother, 40 years later. What a mental derailment, but culture differences should not hinder love and commitment to one another. All right? And maybe we need a whole new culture altogether. I don't know how to create that. But the principle is love. And that is, I am committed to this person. I'm going to give them my best. And the woman brings what she brings, the man brings what she brings, and all of them are joined as one, and they start this beautiful thing called family. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Alright, in whichever way love is expressed, it is the point. Because love never fails. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it explains what love means. Alright? And the Bible says love never fails. Express it in whatever form, it will never fail. And it's both ways. All right? It's mutual. It's reciprocation. It's giving and receiving. All right? There is, okay, the marriage understand this, singles wait until premarital counseling. All right? Okay? But the principle is there, love. Love one another. And all this is not just a beautiful love story. It is a picture that is getting clearer and clearer each day. It's Jesus on the way. Rebecca and Isaac is really a picture of Jesus Christ and us. Right? A father desires a bride for his son. The lovely bride is divinely made, chosen, called, and then lavished with gifts. That's what Jesus does to us. We didn't even know it. He sought us, loved us, and gives us everything. She's entrusted to the care of the servant until she meets her bridegroom. We are given the Spirit. Eliezer, the servant here, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. We've never met Jesus personally, have we? And we soon are going to meet him. That's where we're going. In fact, chosen for marriage before they even knew it, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, we are going to a marriage supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you ready? This was necessary for the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose. This wasn't just any other wedding. Jesus is coming through Isaac and Rebecca. The bride submissive, the groom loving. All an expression of love anyway, in different ways. And much as you know how to find a bride now, at least you have a clue what to look for. Beyond that, Jesus came. And he loved us so much, he gave himself for each one of us. And if you have not given yourself to him, he has so much to give you. He has everything. He has heaven. He has gifts. He has every expression of love that you're looking for. And we can only find it in Jesus Christ. And if you're thirsty for love, you're hungry, you're lonely, there is room in our lives that not even your spouse will fill. I know we promise so much to our spouses, I will whatever for you, but you cannot be everything to them. All right? Only Jesus is everything to us. Only Jesus. And if you think your partner is going to fulfill every need you have, you will live a very frustrated life, because they will not. We are all humans and we fail. We have a limit, and then we are so tired we have to go to bed. But the desire, the hunger, the need for love and for any other that humans cannot supply is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. So if you're waiting for your partner, find rest, peace, comfort, find love in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and pray. So let's clap for the ladies. The Rebeccas, all right? And for the men. Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us, oh God. Thank you so much that while we were still sinners, you loved us and gave yourself for us. And Lord, I pray that we may be committed to loving you back. And there's no way we can love you but just to follow you, oh God, just to listen to you, just to respond to your love. Lord, I pray for all of us who are married. May we be committed and faithful and wholly given to each other in love, in patience, oh God, gentleness, sacrifice, in thought, oh God, in prayer. May we lay down our lives for each other. Lord, I pray for all the singles, those who have not yet found partner, those who are waiting for their partner. But may they commit to grow in you. Rebecca wasn't looking for a husband. You sent her a husband to fulfill the mission that you had. And Lord, rather than focusing on Lord, I want this, Lord, I want that, I want, this is the list, oh God, may we focus on you. May we focus on you, oh God. All of us, the singles and the marrieds, May we seek satisfaction, fulfillment, and everything we desire in you alone, because only you can satisfy. In Jesus' name, amen.